I am not long-winded, so that's a good thing. I am not long-winded, so I will not be with you long. And so, but now that we're here and now that you're online, I think we could just let God have his way and do what he wants to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's just jump right into the word. Let's go to Joshua 1, 5 through 8. Joshua 1, 5 through 8. And God speaks, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the new law, to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and thou shalt, and then thou shalt have good success." And so this has been a thought in the topic that's been kind of on my mind and helping me through this whole quarantine, and something that's just been keeping me. But I just want to leave you with this thought: the promise of the pursuit. So the promise of the pursuit. So can we just pray before we go a little further? God, we thank you, God, for this day. God, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do and what you're doing right now. God, we thank you. We give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. God, it's all due to you. God, I pray that you just anoint tonight, oh God. Let someone be touched tonight. Let someone be transformed. God, we don't want to walk out of this building. We don't want to walk out of this sanctuary the same way that we walked in. God, we thank you for the word. Let it speak to us. We open our hearts. We make ourselves available for you to do something. God, we make ourselves available for you to work in our hearts, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Man, that was the first time that I have been in song service and had to wear a mask, and that is challenging. I just play up here and then with no mask and then sit down, but that is challenging. But it could be worse. It could be worse. It could be worse. Just one more moment. I don't know if you're going through anything. I don't know what situation you're going through. I don't know what the circumstances. I don't know what the struggle is. I don't know what feelings. It may be anxiety, maybe depression trying to come on, and maybe some hurt or pain. But I wonder if we could just do an exchange, if we can just lift that up to God and just exchange for his peace, for his presence, for his comfort. Come on, can we just exchange that to him? Let's just not do a normal exchange, but this is a divine exchange. Can we just do that? God, we lift up our hurts. God, we lift up this feeling, God. We lift up this to you, God. This struggle, God. We lift this to you. God, we may have not gotten a good report this week, but God, we lift it to you. God, we trust you. God, fill our hearts with your love. Fill our hearts with your peace, your comfort. In the name of Jesus, can we just proclaim that? Come on, can we continue that? In the name of Jesus. Yara shata, yara mokota. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so going in Joshua, when Joshua was first appointed as the leader after the death of Moses in the first chapter of Joshua, Joshua 1, God promised Joshua that he would be with him. He would not fail him. He would not forsake him. It was a foundational promise to Joshua that in order to possess the promised land, Joshua and the Israelites had to commit their lives to obey the word of God and pursue after him. If there is one thing that I believe that is one of the most important factors in living this life, it is pursuing God, pursuing his character, pursuing his nature, pursuing his presence, pursuing his power, his revelation. If you look at our society and church culture today, it's almost as if we have lost the pursuit for God. And in fact, it is a great tragedy, and we are selling ourselves short if we are not faithfully pursuing God. I believe we must continue to pursue God. I believe we must continue to pursue his word, continue to pursue his presence. Pursuing God is not just a Sunday service. It's not just a Wednesday night. It's not even a big conference. But it's something that we should and have to do daily. Scripture says in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John 15:4, it says, abide in me, and I in you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let us be the church that pursues after God. Come on, let us be the church. Come on, let us be the people that pursues after God. Hallelujah. Pursue, it means to follow close upon, to go with, to strive, to gain, to see, to attain, to chase after. And with this pursuit, we have to have endurance, which means the ability or strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. Pursuing God takes endurance, it takes dedication, commitment, patience. Pursuing God is getting to know him. Now, I believe firmly that we need a move of God. I believe that we need to feel his presence. I believe that when we pursue after him, it comes with his presence, glory, and his power. And I believe we have to have a move of God. I believe we need his presence. I believe we need to feel him. I believe we need a move of God in our services, every service, in our home, daily. We can't live without his presence. We need to experience him, and we need to have encounters with him. But if feelings is all we have in our relationship with Jesus, we will perish. Don't get me wrong, we need his presence, we need to feel him, but if our relationship is based on just feelings, we will perish. And we've got to know him, we've got to know him. Hosea 4:6 says, for my people are destroyed, they're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And that, in essence, is the word. I'm going to jump to Philippians 3:10, and Paul states that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This pursuit, it takes sacrifice. This pursuit, it's going to come with some hurt. Come on, it's going to come with some pain. But this pursuit brings forth God's promises. It brings forth hope. It brings forth joy, peace, salvation, and end in time, everlasting life. How many believe that? Come on. How many believe everlasting life? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I got one that's excited there. Come on. Hallelujah. I remember when I first started playing the piano in the beginning years, I started before I was in high school, and so freshman, sophomore, in those early years, and as I developed playing, and as I started kind of getting adjusted and playing more, I thought as long as I could feel his presence, as long as I could feel God, I was okay. I thought as long as it was a good churchy service, and we shouted and danced and cried, and we had a good feeling, and I thought I was okay. It wasn't until later I realized that I was missing out on my relationship with God because I only pursued after what felt good. I didn't pray like I should. I didn't read the word like I should have. I got so focused on hitting the right notes and playing the right notes and being on my post every service. I got so focused on that. And I was slowly dying. I was slowly dying. I was still going to church. I was still involved, but I was slowly dying. But one day I was convicted and I started pursuing after God again, and I got a revelation of who he is and not just what he can do, and I was able to refocus my walk with him and understand what I was really doing when I was playing. And I was really, it was just a total change. It was like my practices, they started turning from just a practice into a worship service. And I would, late at night, I would get on the piano and I would just sing unto God, and I would pull out my Bible and I would just read, and I would sing scriptures, and I would just connect with him, and I would seek him, and I would pursue after him in the late hours. See, in Psalms 150, it says, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath can praise the Lord, right? But in John 4:24, it says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I didn't realize that in my life, the ground was being tilled up and dug up. but no seed, no word was planted. And those that know about gardening and planting, won't you till up the ground and bring up that ground, and you don't do anything to it, weeds just grow. There's no harvest. So I just want to encourage someone tonight, don't give up. Don't give up your pursuit for God. Don't lose focus on your pursuit for God. Don't give up on your pursuit for God. And that's why I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for that this church is grounded in the word, grounded in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful for this church that is focused on discipleship and growing in the word. We're really blessed. We're really blessed. I mean, we are blessed. I know we've been through some things and all that, but we are blessed. We are a blessed church. And so let us continue to be that church that pursues after God. Let us continue to be that woman of God, that man of God that pursues after him. So how can we get to know him? How can we get to know him? First, I mean, we all know we have to repent, baptized according to 238, in Jesus' name. We need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But for those that are in the church and have that, it's through his word and through prayer. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Psalms 120, it says, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. So anybody just hungry after God tonight? Come on, I know this is just a little simple topic, but this is life. This is our walk. Anybody just hungry after God? I want to continue to pursue after him. Come on, anybody just want to continue to pursue? Can we just lift our hands? Come on, let's just pursue after him right now. God, we need you. God, we need your presence. God, we need you. God, we want to understand you and know you for who you are, not just for what you do, not just for what you can do, but for who you are. God, we want to know your nature. God, we want to know your character. God, give us a revelation. Come on, I know it's hard with the mask, but can we continue that? In the name of Jesus. God, we pursue after you, God. We pursue after you, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So Joshua, he was a strong leader. He was a courageous leader. He was a leader with a vision of hope and promise. He was a leader that led the Israelites into the promised land of Canaan. He led the spies. He led the fall of Jericho. He admitted his failures. He was faithful. His ultimate purpose was to pursue God, and he did it until his death. Scripture says in Joshua 24:14-15, and this was towards the end of his life, and Joshua spoke and said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, declare that. As for me and my house, come on, we're going to serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. And so these were the instructions that God gave him when he was the first appointed. Wow, since this virus, man, reports have stated that mental illness is on the rise, suicides are increasing, depression's on the rise, anxiety and fear is everywhere you look, tensions are high. Sadly, many are struggling, yes, even in the church. We're struggling with just wrapping our minds around what's going on. We're struggling with physical distancing. We're struggling with the way church has changed in our society and just life in general. We're struggling to say the right thing. We're struggling to do the right thing. We're seeing so many posts from our friends that just kind of make us cringe. And we're like, oh, I don't know what to do. And we're frustrated with things. And we're struggling and we're frustrated and we're struggling and we're struggling and we're frustrated. And so can we just be real? Can we just be real tonight? Someone said the struggle is real. We are living in uncertain times. We really are. I went to a restaurant the other day, and there was plastic taped all over and border walls. And just, man, it's just so different. I read an article, and it had some statistics about just in social media, and I know we hear statistics and this and this and that, but this is just something that kind of was just an eye-opener for me. It said that the average person spends 144 minutes per day, 2 hours and 24 minutes, almost 2.5 hours on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, said that already, TikTok, all that stuff. And during the pandemic, it's most likely surpassed that amount. And this is just a report that I read. I'm not condoning any of this, the other social media platforms that we're not supposed to have or governed by another country or anything like that. But now there are many great things about social media. There's services, there's church music, there's preaching, there's connecting with others, there's witnessing, and so on. Social media can be good, but how much time are we spending praying and reading our Bible during this season? This is talking to me too. How much time are we spending? It was during this time last year, during NAYC, that Mark Brown, he took a survey. Thousands of people took it, ages 12 to 50 on up. Thousands of people took the survey. And he posted the results after the event, and these are just some of the results that he posted. Out of all of the ages, like I said, from 12 on up, 52% of the people said that they read their Bible every day. 52%. 48% do not read their Bible every day. The next survey result was 64% pray daily. The other 36% do not pray daily. The average days prayed between the ages of 12 and 18 is about 4.5 days. Between the ages of 19 and 35, it's about the same, pushing 5. From the ages of 36 to 50, it was 5 days. The average amount of time that people prayed was, or the days, it was 5 days. And from age 51 on up, it was, the average was 6 days. The average daily prayer time, and this was all, this was from the ages 12 to 18, the average daily prayer time, it was 13 minutes if they prayed that day. From 19 to 35, the ages 19 to 35, the average daily prayer time was 18 minutes. From 36 to 50, the daily prayer time was 22 minutes. And from 51 on up, the average daily prayer time was 27 minutes. 27 minutes. Think about a video game, or think about a show, a Netflix show, a Facebook video, a meme, something on Instagram. How much time can we watch that? And looking at these numbers of how much time we are spending in the Word and we're praying. And I don't want you to understand me wrong. I do believe that any amount of prayer is good. Any amount of reading the Bible, that's good. Your devotion, that's good. That's good, but can we be honest? Can we be honest with ourselves? If we're going to get through this pandemic, we're going to have to spend more time in prayer. We're going to have to spend more time in our Bible reading, more time than before the pandemic. And another thing, if this church wants to see revival, if this church wants to see a move of God, if this church wants to continue to pursue after God, we're going to have to get in the Word. We're going to have to pray. Come on, we're going to have to get in our prayer closets. We're going to have to spend some time. Come on, we're going to have to sacrifice all the pleasures of life, and we're going to have to get in tune with Him. In Jesus' name. We all have stories of our grandmothers and mothers praying. We all have stories. I remember my mother. I remember it was fast day. When I grew up, we fasted every week. And this is funny. We fasted every week, and we fasted from 8 to 4 o'clock. And we didn't eat anything. I mean, everybody, the kids fast, the pets fast, the goldfish, they fasted too. So everything fasted. And I remember during a fast that everything was shut off. Only thing we could read was if we had homework or our Bibles. And we would fast through school. And I was like, oh, no, if you can go out and play and do all, you're going to be fasting today. You just go ahead and sit in the library for today. You'll be okay. And so, but I remember she took out a time. She took out a time and said, we're going to take this amount of time, and we're going to pray. And I remember she would have us either go to our rooms in the living room, and we could hear her in her room just crying out to God. We could hear her just crying out for just our family and for souls and for God to just heal and deliver. And she was just doing so much spiritual warfare, and she was fighting through prayer. And I remember she taught that. She taught that to us. And I remember my grandmother, just spiritual warfare, fighting, and my grandparents, my grandfather just praying. I can hear the voices now. And so that's what we're going to have to get to. If you want to see a revival, I believe it. I don't know if you guys, I know we say it all the time, but I believe it. I believe we're going to have a revival. Come on, anybody else believe that tonight? Come on, anybody else believe that tonight? I know you're wearing a mask, but I wonder if we can lift up a shout. Come on, I wonder if we can lift up a shout if you believe it. Hallelujah. Come on, let's dwell in that right there. Let's dwell in that right there. God, we praise you. God, we're going to continue to pursue after you. God, we're going to continue to spend time with you. God, we're going to pray. We're going to read our Bibles. Oh God, we're going to spend time in our prayer closets and in our devotionals. Hallelujah. And so let's not let those numbers reflect this church. Let's not let those numbers reflect us. Amen. Come on, we all have work to do. Let's just be honest. We all have work to do. And like I said, I'm not condemning any amount of prayer or any amount of fasting or anything like that. It's all good. But if we're going to want a move of God, if we're going to want revival in this church, it's going to take that and more. When Paul wrote the second letter to Timothy, as known as 2 Timothy, he was near death, and he encouraged Timothy to be strong in the faith and steadfast in endurance. And 2 Timothy 4:6-8, it says, and this is Paul speaking, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul had to endure so much for this gospel, but he didn't stop pursuing after God. All throughout the Bible, the church was attacked. People that stood for the gospel were attacked by society, government, and other people. We can recall more times where people in the church was attacked than when it was going smooth and comfortable and just riding on the waves. There's nothing new. This is nothing new to the church. The church has always been attacked. But I tell you, the church was born for this. Come on, we were born for this. Come on, nothing's going to stop us. Come on, nothing's going to stop us. Nothing's going to stop you. Scripture says, Revelation. It says, Revelation 21:7, and John wrote this. He said, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance." And this is the promise. This is the promise. This is the promise. This is the promise. And so, how can we apply this? How can we apply this? I take things really simple when it comes to the word and everything, but I mean, as far as application, I just thought of hand sanitizer, especially in this season. It doesn't seem like you can get enough hand sanitizer, well, except for us. I mean, my wife kind of had us stocked up on the Bed Bath & Beyond, or what's it called? Bath & Body Works, soaps and hand sanitizer. Any other husbands had their wives stocked up during this time? Yeah, we were stocked up on that, and soaps and sprays and candles and scents and all that stuff. And I don't know if you husbands or, you know, whoever is like my wife, but every time we walk past Bath and Body, whatever it's called, we have to go into that store. We have to. It's like a candy shop. And then I go in and I smell about all the candles. Well, how about this one? Oh, it smells good. And then the next one, oh, that candle smells good. And then the next one, that kind of smells like the first one. But No, this one has rose in it, or this one has a fruity or something like that. And by the time I get out the store, I'm dizzy and lightheaded before I can get out with all the scents and everything. But I think of it as hand sanitizer. Think of it. It's no use to just let the hand sanitizer or the soap just sit up on your shelf. You got to apply it because it kills those germs. And so it's same with the word. It's no use to just let our Bible sit on our nightstands or in the closet or in the cupboard. Or it's no good just to come to church and hear the word but not apply it, and we just go back to our lives. But we have to apply this word. We have to take something from what we hear or what we read and apply it to our daily lives. We must deny ourselves and surrender. We must take time for God and prioritize Him in our lives. We must pray without ceasing. We must consecrate and take out things in our life that are not like Him. We must dwell in His presence. We must fast and pray. We must pray and fast. We must fast and pray. We must pray and fast. And so because the promise is everlasting life, the promise is everlasting life. We can read throughout the Bible. There's so many notable people that pursued after God. Abraham pursued, Moses pursued, Noah pursued, Habakkuk pursued, John. And there's elders in our movement that pursued after God. Seymour Parham pursued after God. And there's elders in this church that have pursued after God. And there's elders still in this church that pursuing after God. Come on, elders, I'm speaking to you. Don't give up. Going to Sister Castile, don't give up pursuing after God. We see you. Don't give up, Brother Wiggins, we see you. Don't give up pursuing after God. You others that are here, don't give up pursuing after God. In Jesus' name. Just as you can come, I just want to finish out with this story. Florence Chadwick was 34 years old in 1955 when she attempted to become the first woman to swim the 21 miles across the Catalina Channel from Catalina Island to Palos Verdes on the California coast. And so the weather that day was challenging because the ocean was ice cold and the fog was so thick. She could barely see the support boats that followed her. The tides and current was against her, and to make matters worse, sharks were in the area. But at daybreak, she decided to go forward anyway, expecting the fog to lift in time. Hour after hour, she swam. The fog never lifted. Her mother and her trainer followed her in one of the support boats, encouraging her to keep going. Keep going. You got it. Keep going. While Americans watched on television, other members of her support crew were firing rifles at the sharks to drive them away. She kept going and going. And after about the 15-hour point, she began to doubt her ability to finish the swim. She told her mother she couldn't do it. I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can do it anymore. And unfortunately, at 15 hours and 55 minutes, she stopped with huge disappointment. She asked her support crew to take her out of the water. Because of the fog, she could not see the coastline, so she had no idea where she was. She soon found out, however, that she was less than a mile away from the coast. She could have certainly reached it if she had just stayed in the water just a few minutes longer. She was so near, but yet so far. And the fog made her unable to see her go, and it felt like her she was getting nowhere. But 2 months later, she tried again, and although the fog was just as dense, this time she kept going, and she broke a record, 13 hours and 47 minutes, becoming the first woman ever to complete this swim. And as I was reading this, I don't know if for some of you it may seem like a dense fog that's kind of clouding you right now, but remember, with God, He is with you, and God will see you through. Can we just stand? I know it's a tad bit early, but I just want us to prepare our minds to pray. So Joshua led the people. They led the people to inherit the land that was promised because of his pursuit after God. It was some weeks ago, I don't know if you guys remember, it was a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, where a pastor, he mentioned and he was teaching, and he said that the church is not on its A game. Anybody else remember that? He said, the church is not on its A game. And I don't know about you guys, but that affected me. That hit me. I know sometimes in order to have a great awakening, we as a church, we have to have a rude awakening. And some may be in pursuit for happiness, for worldly affections, but I choose to pursue after God. Because the pursuit is God, but the promise is everlasting life. And so I know this is short, but I just want to encourage you, keep pursuing after God. Young person, young adult, trying to figure out life and direction and what you're going to do in life, keep pursuing God. To the elder, keep pursuing God. To the parent, to the mom, to the dad, keep pursuing after God. Keep your eye on the prize, because he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Come on, can we just end this out in prayer? Come on, in Jesus' name. God, we pursue after you. God, we pursue after you. Nothing else but you. God, we want to know you. God, we just don't want to know just what you can do and what you can do and have done, but we want to know you for who you are. God, we want to know you for who you are, God. God, we don't want to just walk the walk. I'm sorry, we don't want to just go with the emotions, but we want to walk the walk. God, we want to walk this walk. We want to be sincere in our walk. Come on, can we lift? I know we have masks. Can we lift our voice? In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you haven't been reading your Bible, if you haven't been praying like you should, can we make a commitment tonight? God, I'm going to spend more time in your presence. God, I'm going to spend more time in prayer. God, I'm going to spend more time in fasting. I'm going to spend more time reading your word, God. God, I'm going to get rid of all the things that are in this world that are clouding my mind, God. All those things that are making me lose my focus on you. God, I point my focus back to you. God, I point my attention back to you. In Jesus' name. Come on, can we continue that?